Welcome, everybody. It's time once again for another episode of SLMA Radio. Brought to you on behalf of the thousands and thousands of members of the Sales Lead Management Association. It has to do with sales lead management or sales lead marketing. It probably starts here with the SLMA Radio Show. Today, as always, we're privileged to have with us the founder, the executive director, the man behind this movement, the one and only, the amazing, always interesting, always knows the most interesting people, that's for sure, Jim Obermeyer. Hey, Jim.
Thank you, Paul. Paul Roberts. He's the revenue acceleration war. Our host today is Dan McDade. He's the founder of PointClear. He founded the company in 1997 to help B2B companies with complex sales processes drive revenue through lead generation, qualification, and nurturing. He's also the author of The Truth About Leads. PointClear works with B2B technology, healthcare, finance companies, and business service organizations. His guest today is Karen Hayward. Karen is a managing partner with Chief Outsiders, responsible for West Coast operations. Chief Outsiders LLC is a nationwide executives as a service firm with more than 60 part-time or fractional chief marketing officers engaged from coast to coast. Welcome, Dan, and your guest, Karen. Dan, I will turn the program over to you.
Jim, thank you very much, and Karen, welcome. It's great to be with you today. The audience doesn't know that I know how results-oriented you are because you were our boss for 10 years running the Centerbeam program, and Centerbeam was ultimately successfully sold to another company. But hey, thanks for joining me today, Karen.
My pleasure to be with you.
Karen, when we were preparing for this, one of the things that you said that I thought was really interesting was that, you know, there are going to be winners and losers in the revenue acceleration war. You know, we can't count on the economy being great all the time. We're going to have ups and downs. And so what has to happen? Well, or you said anyway, that winners will perfect ways to make their AEs more productive. They'll build a performance engine that accelerates revenue. While losers will be over-dependent on their AEs. They'll kind of misunderstand how their buyers buy and underutilize their websites where the buyers go to do research before talking to vendors. And everybody is out there trying to figure out the right model. That there will be winners and losers. And for the audience, we're really going to talk about three areas today. The first is going to be, is it inbound, is it outbound, or is it all bound? That's number one. Number two is going to be that how will winners take a disciplined approach to their targeting, messaging, and media? I think we may have some surprises there for you. And then thirdly, the winners will learn how to mine every dollar out of marketing and sales investments via the development of high-value database development as well as effective nurturing. And so, Karen, let's kind of go back to the top. Is it inbound, is it outbound, or is it all bound? What do folks need to know about that subject right now?
The big trend we're seeing is a tremendous interest in generating inbound leads. The reality is when you generate inbound leads, they're not necessarily always your target audience. In order to make sure you're accessing and driving towards your specific target audience, you have to incorporate some kind of outbound. And outbound in B2B to be really effective needs to be a very disciplined combination of telemarketing, email, and then nurturing drip campaigns. I think there's this emerging over-reliance on the notion of inbound when outbound is really where you get to control the universe of people that you target. So it's really an all-bound strategy.
You had mentioned that with inbound, you get a mixed bag of qualified and unqualified prospects. And people who have heard me speak or read some of our blogs have heard me say that some of the 7,000 or so marketing enablement solutions out there right now have made it easier to get more poor quality leads faster to sales than ever before. It's hard to talk about inbound, outbound, and allbound without talking about lead scoring. What's your impression or what have your clients' impression been of lead scoring and how it helps them target the right market?
Well, I think if you don't have critical mass, lead scoring can be risky. Sometimes people don't declare their true level of interest when they come to a website. Over-reliance on lead scoring, I think, can be really dangerous. I think for mid-market companies and high-growth companies, which may not have critical mass, I think lead scoring should be a minimal part of the strategy, definitely a piece of it, but certainly not the kind of winner takes all. Someone scored 74 points, they're super interested. There can be really no correlation there at all. You could have a university student, you know, researching because you happen to have a really good blog, racking up the points with never a remote intention to buy. So I think it has to be very, very balanced and very practical based on critical mass.
Yeah, I found that over and over again. In fact, I can give a specific example of this with one client that happened to be in the security business. We found a couple of things. One, that security in the title is critically important in lead scoring. That's kind of an obvious one, although it's not always key because you have some titles that are not really universal. And then the second thing is that there was almost a bell-shaped curve from a response standpoint, that anywhere up to 4 to 6 touches by a prospect was a good thing, but anything over 7 or over touches was a bad thing because they were over consuming the content and really not serious buyers. Like you said, they could have been students, they could have been competitors, they could even be prisoners in some cases, but you just have to be careful not to just totally buy into the lead score. And have you run into that as well, Karen?
Absolutely. I think I would caution people when they're putting these kind of programs in place is if someone consumes a digital asset and scores, you know, downloads some piece of content, that is the gate through which you should pass to say, we have some level of interest here that we should try and engage for further discussion versus waiting until they've consumed every written blog on your site. The other interesting thing is just because you can get a lot of leads doesn't necessarily mean they're going to close. And Dan and I worked together, for those of you listening, several years ago while I was at Centerbeam, as he mentioned earlier, and we had a segment that we went after in the legal profession. And we had, if I'm not mistaken, something like a 9% lead rate. However, we would qualify them, but they would never close because of their internal decision-making process. Lead rates and early warning systems, I think you have to look at with the full purview of the pipeline so that you're just not getting excited about marketing qualified leads that the sales force really can't turn into revenue. So a bit of a cautionary tale there.
Yeah, and I was going to actually go there with you a little bit on you know, the sales force, and that is, so somebody downloads a white paper and the opportunity goes out to the sales force to follow up. And what happens, you know, most of the time is that the sales force finds that it's really not a lead. It could be a lead down the road with some nurturing, but it's really just somebody expressing interest, raising their hand to read a piece of content. Has that been your experience too, Karen?
100%. 100%. I think that the skill set required to follow up on a lead is a very different skill set than what the traditional outbound sales rep usually possesses. And so I think there's some element of qualification that is really necessary before you hand something off to a sales rep. Feet on the street, as you know, is really expensive. And so you want to make sure that you are providing your precious feet on the street with the best qualified opportunities that they are going to engage. And once a sales force kind of sours on the marketing leads that they're getting, it's difficult to turn them around. I really do think there's this critical step that inbound and outbound people need to take before they pass something off to an outside rep.
Let's take on the next topic here, which is that winners will take a disciplined approach to their targeting, messaging, and media. And I know we talked about this the other day, Karen, in preparation for today. I think this was something that you got pretty excited about and had strong feelings about. So let's just talk at the highest level. What does it take to take a disciplined approach to targeting, messaging, and media?
That's a very big question. So first of all, I'm an absolute believer in targeting. You've got to really understand who your buyer is, what they care about, and speak to them in a highly relevant way. People talk a lot about buyer personas, but often they really don't do the hard work to define what message is going to resonate with them and what problem you are uniquely positioned to solve for that buyer persona that's going to drive them to engage with you. So that's one. Two is, messaging is critical. And so funny, I just worked with a cybersecurity company that was all of a sudden losing to a competitor. And when you talk to the sales force, it was all about money. It was they were $15,000 more expensive than the competitor. It just sort of sounded odd. And so I really dug in, and we went out and interviewed all of their losses. And at that point found out that the persona they were selling to was really concerned about a product roadmap, and that if they selected the wrong cybersecurity company and the company didn't have a roadmap to evolve with how quickly that, you know, environment's evolving, that they were going to end up losing their job. And so they went with the less robust solution, the cheaper solution, and the one that had the best product roadmap. You know, the buyer thought was the least risky solution. Well, when you get that kind of insight about why you're winning and why you're losing, you can quickly and easily adjust the message. And so there's just one example of how, if you're only tuned into your sales force, you get one input, a very important one, but you only get one input. Tuning into why you're winning and why you're losing with an independent third party, really understanding the voice of the customer, I think can really help you unlock opportunities to grow and accelerate revenue and success. And then media, which I think is the third thing we discussed. I mean, it can't just be all about email. You have to be breaking through. You have to have a multi-step, multi-touch process. You know, what we loved about our experience working with you, Dan, was, I mean, you would find trigger points. We were looking for CIOs who were very open-minded, early adopters. And when they landed somewhere, you were able to identify them on social media, to outreach, you know, with a very disciplined seven-step process, and really cut through the clutter. So I think it's about multi-touch, multimedia, multi-cycle marketing. It's the disciplined cadence of being able to execute and then not over-execute so that they unsubscribe and tune you out. So a balancing act for sure.
Karen, we'll come back to this point in just a second, but I'm with Karen Hayward, who's with Chief Outsiders Group. This is Dan McDade with Point Clear. Let's turn it over to our sponsors for just a minute or two, and we'll be right back with you.
And we'll take just a moment to remind you that Chief Outsiders is a nationwide executives as a service firm with more than 60 part-time or fractional chief marketing officers. Chief Outsiders has served on the executive teams of over 600 client companies to drive growth, strategy, and execution for a fraction of the cost of a full-time executive. Fractional services at its best. www.chiefoutsiders.com. Go check it out. Chiefoutsiders.com. And if you want to increase revenue by 92.35%, that's 92.35%, while reducing prospecting costs by 10% or more, this is not a holy grail. This is not an impossible task. Black box solution. Cadence-centric, account-based teleprospecting works. You can call Dan McDade at Point Clear to find out how and to see if it can work for you. 678-533-2722. That's 678-533-2722. And talk to them in person or visit pointclear.com. That's pointclear.com. All right. Back to our guest host, Dan McDade, and his guest.
Hi, this is Dan McDade with Point Clear, and today I am with Karen Hayward at Chief Outsiders Group. Karen was a client of ours at Centerbeam for about 10 years. Karen, welcome back.
Thanks, Dan. It's great to be here.
Let me just take the conversation so far back a step and then forward a step, and that is that what we find that companies identify their target market, and then they go after that target market sort of homogeneously. So the 20% at the top who are really probably the best prospects, and maybe they're the biggest company, maybe the most targeted companies, maybe for whatever reason, they're the cream of the crop. And then there's 20% at the bottom, you know, who you need to kind of filter through from time to time, but not necessarily spend a lot of money. And as an example, we talk about and recommend to our clients that there might be 20 or 30% at the top of the market that should never go through marketing automation. They should be handled on a one-on-one basis. There's, you know, the great unwashed in the middle where, you know, it's probably a combination. You're constantly tweaking and testing and trying to see, you know, what the best method of approach is. And then there's the bottom 20%. You really can't afford to spend a lot of money. Maybe they always get marketing automation emails and and perhaps you might sample 5 or 10% of those just to make sure you're not missing something. But I think the key thing is to make sure that you don't treat this entire universe, even the very targeted universe, you don't treat it homogeneously. Do you run across that at all, Karen, or how do you feel about that as an approach?
Oh, I think certainly for considered purchases and a more complex sale, the best companies find that inbound can only drive about 30% of the total revenue that's needed for them to achieve their growth targets. I think there's this whole emerging area of account-based marketing where you really need to get inside, study, you know, top 10 opportunities and figure out what is really an entire account plan to go out and cut through with really relevant messaging to each of the stakeholders. You know, and there's starting to be many more stakeholders involved in an enterprise sale today. And I really think if you don't have an account-based strategy that is taking a very relevant and considered strategy of communicating and getting your value proposition out to those stakeholders in meaningful ways, you're going to miss the mark. Marketing automation isn't going to always make that happen for you.
We talked a little bit about how winners are going to understand that effective prospecting is complex. I found that to be a really interesting statement. You know, to the extent that you can, how do you feel like CEOs or, you know, other senior executives look at prospecting and the complexity of prospecting versus somebody in marketing and, say, maybe somebody else in sales? Any experience come to mind there?
Well, as someone who's been a sales trainer in a past life and a VP of sales and marketing, and then each of those functions individually, I think there's some big issues that are often easy to evolve if not checked. And one of them is marketing and sales alignment, making sure that the VP of sales and the VP of marketing are on the same page with respect to the end goal, and that marketing really is accountable for revenue and really helping manage through that entire process. I think the complexity in going to market today really does involve teleprospecting and a crisp handoff to sales. You know, a requirement when you have a prospect that doesn't convert immediately, that you can put them into a really optimized nurturing stream to keep dripping on that prospect until they are ready to buy and can raise their hand again. But they know enough about you and you've been adding value through engagement over time. So it's gotten way more complex. I mean, you just look at the number of processes you have to execute. Let's just start teleprospecting. Today's people entering the workforce stay a year to a year and a half. Teleprospecting is a tough job. If you don't have a constant flow of people that you have trained to take over, your lead flow is going to suffer. And, you know, that shows up, unfortunately, in revenue. And so, you know, the people are more difficult to recruit and train. I think the processes and the software and the tools that you need to be effective have become immeasurably more complex. And just the sheer volume and number of, you know, it's just difficult for a mid-market, high-growth company to even some of the larger companies, I think, struggle with this.
You know, two things that we run into, Karen, are that companies are not as persistent as they need to be when it comes to prospecting. A good example is I've talked to 3 or 4 people just this year alone, and they were prospects, but they were saying that they had gotten telephone calls and voicemails and email follow-up from people that they were too busy to take at that moment. But they said to themselves, sort of subconscious, I'm sure I'm going to hear back from them, so I'm not going to worry about it right now. But I think if they call back, I'll probably talk to them. And they never call back, like kind of the one-and-done campaigns that we've talked about for years, that, you know, if you call somebody once and you leave them one voicemail and send them one email and they don't call you back, you consider that to be not a prospect. And, you know, the reality is that it takes a lot more attempts in order to get somebody on the telephone or have a conversation with them. Is that something that you run into in your practice at all?
You know, certainly. And then I can just recall the number of times where, you know, in our relationship with PointClear, that we were able to get an unbelievable deal done, but only after we had touched them maybe 14 or 15 times. Between phone calls, emails, letting them rest, and then, you know, another series of phone calls, emails. And in fact, I often laugh because I had been working with another telemarketing firm, and really needed to make a change. And I remember PointClear had reached out to me through a sequence of seven touches, and I had voicemails and then different emails, and I had a couple of emails in my inbox that I just thought, I'm just going to leave there because, you know, sometime I'm going to want to engage. And then, sure and behold, that time came, and I went scrounging through my inbox. Who was that company? Found them. And, you know, that resulted, Dan, in a 10-year relationship. And then I had the same experience where you were finding, after these crazy number of touches, those needles in the haystack that, you know, B2B companies are looking for.
Yeah, we were constantly churning for the top 10 verticals and making sure that we had balance as far as sales reps were concerned and in the geographies for sure. The last topic we were going to talk about today was talking about mining every dollar out of marketing and sales investments via the development of high-value databases and effective nurturing. And, you know, there's an expression that I've heard over and over again, and that is that CEOs don't care about leads, they don't care about databases, they just care about revenue. And in my opinion, CEOs need to get more detail about the leads that are being generated and sent out to field sales, what percentage of them are converting to sales-qualified leads, what percentage of them are making it down further in the funnel. Because our experience is that there's an awful lot of money that's wasted developing leads that are sent to sales and never followed up. Now, I bet you've never found that, have you, Karen?
Yeah, that's a softball, Dan. We have totally found that. You have to have eyes behind the back of your head following these leads. Salespeople are tasked with driving revenue this month, this week, this day. And when they get busy on that, there has to be a mechanism by which we are keeping track of what is going on with those leads. And that is a huge issue that can result in people expecting to hear from you that don't hear from you, people that just forget about you. And, you know, leads do go cold. People do move on. And there was some crazy statistic I saw that said, you know, if you respond, I think it was a Gartner statistic, if you respond within a certain amount of time, and it was way less than 24 hours, that you have a 50% greater likelihood of connecting with that lead. So time really, really matters. And the quality of the connection also really matters. So making sure that there are metrics at every step of the funnel, it's, you know, and I think the most important one is probably, what is a marketing qualified lead that sales is willing to follow up on? That clarity around the definition of that agreed upon by both parties, whether it's what SIC codes, what revenue number, what number of employees, or is it a number of employees? And what are the job titles that we're going to agree on? You know, what validation do we need of the business issues? So I think there are like 9 or 10 items that really need to get flushed out so that you have that agreement, so there's less likelihood that it won't be a lead. And when it is a lead, that there's eyes in following that lead to make sure it gets touched all the way through the process.
Yeah, and the development of a high value or high quality database is also critically important to that. Just to give the listeners here some idea of what we're talking about, let's say you have a target audience or target list of about 1,000, and you go through this list, and you know, maybe there's 40 or 50 that are high quality sales opportunities ready to turn over to sales. But you know what? A lot of times that's where marketing stops. And in addition to the 40 or 50 high quality opportunities, there could also be, or will also be, 40 or 50 what we refer to as pipeline accounts. Those are accounts that require one or two more touches, but we expect 20 or 30% of those pipeline accounts to turn into leads. That's a pretty efficient thing to do if you basically can convert 50 pipelines into 20 leads. That's a lot more efficient than converting 1,000 companies into 50 leads. And then there's also some nurture opportunities. You know, those are the companies that are the right size, the right vertical. They've got the right contacts. They've got the right environment. But it's just not the right time. And going back after those companies is a lot less expensive than it is going after a cold list. So at the same time, we want to be very effective in nurturing. We want to make sure that we focus on the value of the database. And I know that we did that together at Centerbeam, Karen. Do you see that frequently, or do you just find that's a need in the market at this point?
You know, I think some of the larger companies have, you know, the kind of resources to really figure that out. I think I think there's a huge need, you know, with mid-market companies that are really putting the tools in place now, but not necessarily able to create that whole value chain and really execute with the people, the process, and the technology. So that's probably why I'm the world's biggest fan of outsourcing, finding a great partner who really understands this, that you can access and get best practices, not only trying to learn everything yourself. I really do think that the whole notion of segmentation, and then once you have those high value contacts, you have to keep in front of them, because your sales rep won't. Your sales rep only wants to be in front of them when they're hot, and that's their job. So marketing really needs to own that whole effort, you know, whether it's reheating old leads that didn't turn into anything for whatever reason, or reheating nurturing that, you know, can continue to yield. In the example that you just pointed out, I mean, it is so compelling. You can really change your marketing metrics dramatically by having an effective nurturing program.
Well, Karen, to restate something you just said, I think it's important for everybody to understand that salespeople do what you pay them to do, not what you want them to do. And with that, I'm going to ask Karen, if you don't mind, just to let people know how they can reach out and get a hold of you.
Oh, so I'm Karen Hayward, so khayward@chiefoutsiders.com. And my phone number is 650-823-4292.
Karen, thanks so much for joining me today. This is Dan McDade, CEO of PointClear, and you can reach me at dan.mcdade@pointclear.com or by calling 678-533-2722. Thanks to the sponsors of today's show. Karen, thanks again. Look forward to talking to you soon.
Thanks, Dan.
You've been listening to another episode of SLMA Radio, brought to you on behalf of the thousands and thousands of members of the Sales Lead Management Association. If it has to do with sales lead management and sales lead marketing, it probably starts here with the SLMA Radio Show, one of the many shows on the ever-growing Funnel Radio Network for at-work listeners like you.